Naaman was a man of position. And there is a certain level of respect that people of a high-powered position in society get. There's a certain level of respect that high-powered people in society demand. And sometimes there's a certain level of respect that people in high-powered positions in society are denied. And when that happens, people of a high-powered position in society usually whine and say that their rights are being violated. And I have no patience for that. I really don't. If you're in a position of power and you don't get what you want, you don't whine and say my rights are being violated. You shut up and deal with it because you don't get everything that you want. Okay, I've said it. I gotta go now. Naaman was a high-powered person. He's the Aramean army commander, and he had leprosy, and he was desperate for healing. He was so desperate that he took steps to ask a prophet from Israel to heal him. That was like a step down. And he expected, at least though, that he would receive the kind of treatment that a powerful person was supposed to get, and he didn't get it. Because that's not the way things work in God's neighborhood. Attenuate the lows. Here's how it did work. Elisha. Remember Elisha? Who was here last week? Week before? Elisha and Elijah play heavily into their... He wouldn't even see him. And remember, this is the same Elisha who was self-conscious and angry, and you'd think that maybe he'd have a little more tact or a little more compassion for somebody who came to him, but I digress on that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he was just playing out his I gotta be mean to be a good prophet-ness. But he just sent a message. Wash in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be clean. And Naaman didn't like that. He didn't like the level of respect he was given. He whined and he complained that he was being treated unfairly. My rights are being taken away. I deserve better. He whined that the Jordan River was too dirty. The rivers in Damascus were so much better. He was enraged, really, that he didn't get the respect that people of a high-powered position in society deserve. And it's a good thing that Naaman wasn't so stubborn to the point of death, or at least ongoing departure from society. He listened to his servants, which is good, who told him essentially, just do it. What can it hurt? Or maybe they said, Naaman, get over yourself. All he said was to wash in the river. So he went to the river and he was healed. He was clean. He was grateful. Actually, I don't think that this morning's Bible reading says he was grateful. I wonder if he got over that position thing. I don't know. So, have you ever let pride get in the way of a great opportunity? I'm thinking old episodes of Star Trek and wherever the Vulcan was, the honor stuff, or Star Trek The Next Generation. Yes? Star Trek The Next Generation, the 90s? Worf. Is it Worf, right? Always there was an honor thing. I could not do that because of my honor. You ever let pride get in the way of a great opportunity? Or have you ever let pride get in the way of a friendship? I can't be friends with them because they this. You ever let pride get in the way of reconciliation? I am not lowering myself to their level to go and even talk to them. How about pride getting in the way of receiving help when you really need it? I'm the one who always helps. I can't get help. I'm not good at that. Or I can't get help from them. Or have you ever let pride really just get in the way of anything good? So that's pride. And Naaman had pride, but he had more. I mean, he had the sense of entitlement, a sense of I deserve better because I am in a position of power and people ought to respect me. And if I don't get what I want, then somehow I am being wronged. So if you ever thought you deserved better, so much that you missed an opportunity? Or have you ever held on to a grudge instead of reconciling a friendship? Or have you ever had such hard feelings that you didn't even recognize an olive branch when it was presented to you? Or have you ever been so sure that your opinion was the correct one, or that you were entitled to something, that you didn't care if you ruined things for everyone else? Or here's one. Have you ever treated church as your property or your private club? As a congregation, we exist not for the benefit of our members. Or let me say it, it's a little bit confusing. Not quite, though. We don't exist for the benefit of our members, but we exist for the benefit of everyone. That's what the church is about. We don't take care of our own. We attend to each other and to all of God's people. There is no one that's outside of the God's people realm. As a church, as a congregation, there can't be an us first attitude. We exist to be a community of love, a community of welcome, a community of kindness, a community of reconciliation, a community of attention to one another and to the world. Here we are on Independence Day weekend. And national pride is a good thing. National pride that says that the United States is exceptional among the nations is not a good thing. We are people. We are human beings in a country, and we appreciate all that our country has meant to us, the freedoms that we have. But we're not better than everyone else. As Christians, we appreciate the faith that we have, the call to love one another, the call for justice, the call for giving and generosity. But we're no better than anyone else. We're all people, and people have different opinions, and people have different life stories, and people have different things that go on. And sure, people do good things and people do evil things. But we're all just people. Naaman thought that he was all that. He had killed a bunch of people. He had taken care of business for his country, and he deserved better. And he almost let his pride, his position, his sense of entitlement, his sense of his own exceptionalism get in the way of healing. And folks, we can't do that. We can't do that as human beings. We can't do that as Christians. We can't do that as St. Paul's United Church of Christ. Let me get back to that one thing that I said. Maybe it struck a nerve. Have you ever treated church as your property or your private club? I know we have. I know I do. And I've been thinking long and hard, how do we as St. Paul's become a community that thrives out into the future? 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. One way to thrive, at least to have a building and to have a pastor and to have worship services that go on, is to create this huge endowment of millions of dollars so that we can pay for everything even when no one's here. And then we will exist in perpetuity, and we will not be a really thriving congregation. How do we thrive? I think one of the ways is we have to stop thinking of it as our church. It's not our church, it's Christ's church, and it is a church that belongs to not just the people who give money, not just the people who sit in the pews. We are the church that belongs to all the people. We all have our pews that we sit in, sure. But we're a place that is supposed to be safe. We're a place that's supposed to be not just welcoming, but attention-giving. And we're supposed to be a community that doesn't say we take care of our own or we take care of just this little bit here. And I know we have to do that. But our attitude can't be just that. We can't stop at the walls of the church or the walls of the people who are members of the church or the walls of the people who aren't members of the church but we really just like because we have a connection to them. We can't stop at any of those places. We have to be the community that serves the people. We have to be the community that doesn't care when we don't get our own way. We have to be the community that sure takes care of ourselves and others. And we have to be people that, you know, are healthy, all that. But we can't be a community that is all about us. And I know we're not all about us. But look around and think, and yes, we so are all about us. We do things, and we make decisions. And even the decisions that we make that care for people outside of our community, I think somehow end up being about us. Maybe that's our nature. Naaman learned a lesson that it wasn't about him, and he got healed anyway. I think going forward as a congregation and how to thrive in the future is to make sure that we are constantly in check about saying it's not about us. Unless the us is this all-encompassing everyone. Us first thinking and pride stop us from the joy we can know as this thriving and growing community of faith. Naaman ignored his pride finally. And hopefully he ignored his us first. I know he got healed. And there were simple instructions. Maybe we have simple instructions too. His were wash and be clean. Or from his servants, really, get over yourself. It's not about you. Boy, I've said that before, haven't I? It's not about you. So, congregation, in the most positive way I can ever say it, get over yourself. Let's go be God's servants in the world.